Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very, very accomplished doctor from Bangalore, India, Dr. Rajni Bhattu. Rajni, welcome to the show.
Thank you very, very much, Ashutosh. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Dr. Rajni Bhattu is the co-founder of iStem Research Private Limited, a company dedicated to retinal stem cell research. She's founder of a not-for-profit center for eye genetics and research. She's a senior consultant ophthalmology at the Aster CMI Hospital in Bangalore. She's a PhD from Maastricht University, the Netherlands, on inherited retinal diseases, and she's been awarded, felicitated, and recognized several times. My God, what an amazing journey you've had. So, Rajni, let's talk about iStem research. Tell me about this venture.
So iStem Research is a cell-based a therapy company. And so there are many diseases that we are aware of, especially in the eye. Most of them have some treatment, be it cataract, glaucoma, diabetic eye disease, even corneal blindness where an eye transplantation is possible. There are a set of diseases that have no treatment at all. Correct. And almost all of these are genetic diseases by nature. So we said, we got to do something in this space. And that's how iStem, was born. We started the company in 2017. And we are incubated at CCAMP, the Center for Cellular and Molecular Platforms. This is within the NCBSTFR campus in Bangalore. And so our goal is to democratize cell therapy so that make it more scalable and affordable. That's iStem in a nutshell.
Very interesting. So, for someone like you, who's been, a well-recognized eye doctor, what was your motivation to get into research?
Yeah, so I've been a practicing retina surgeon for over two decades, Ashutosh. And, we see many, many patients whom we are able to treat. Feel happy at the end of the day. The patient has also benefited. But somewhere along the line, there are these patients who come in and you're not able to do anything. For several years, my go-to answer was that research is happening elsewhere in the world, and I'm sure at some point it will happen. And I guess we all come across a point in time, in life where we feel, what next? What else, right? So I was at such a junction in, 2015, 16, and I said, maybe we should do something different. And that's how, iStem was born. We also got lucky to meet the right kind of people, that's the motivation behind iStem's, venture.
Fascinating, fascinating. And before I get into any more details, when you start any new venture, you are a startup entrepreneur.
Yes.
So my question to most startup entrepreneurs is, what have been some of your challenges and your learnings as you've built this company?
This is a very niche space, Ashutosh. There are not many stem cell companies in the country that we can fall back on for lessons or, follow their footsteps and so on. But I think we got very lucky that we have a very, very robust set of individuals who helped us out. Anyone we reached out, helped us out very generously. So that was, I think, one big thing. The science itself is quite fickle. We're very lucky to have a very, good set of scientists, very professional in their work. So fundraising, again, family, friends mostly helped out, but now we got lucky because, we have Kotak who is invested with us. We have India partners. So now we are, actually okay. So there have been challenges, but we've just got, quite lucky to be at the right place with the right set of people. I would say it's the right set of people that's been the most important. And, we just got lucky there.
Amazing. I mean, I must say you're being very modest, given the fact that you seem to be ascribing everything to being very lucky and having the right people and the right partners, but...
It does matter finally, doesn't it?
I agree with you. Yeah. So moving on, what are inherited retinal diseases or retinal dystrophies, if I have the pronunciation correct? And how large is the problem in India and the world?
So let's stick to a easier term, genetic diseases of the retina. We call them inherited because they invariably run in families. And, there are two sets of diseases that we talk about. One set of conditions that affects younger people. There is a condition called retinitis pigmentosa, Stargardt macular degeneration, Leber's, congenital amaurosis, and so on, which affect younger people, a lot of them who lose vision by their third or fourth decade. Mm-hmm. There's another set of conditions called AMD, or age-related macular degeneration, mm-hmm. that causes, you know, loss of vision in the older people. Mm-hmm. People lose their reading, writing, vision, and so on. Mm-hmm. We beat the world by numbers in almost everything, Ashutosh. Mm-hmm. So the number, the problem is quite large. Mm-hmm. We have about 1.5 to 2 million people with retinitis pigmentosa alone in this country, and nearly 30 to 40 million people with AMD. So that's a sizable number that we're talking about, mm-hmm. you know, with problems.
Wow. So what you're saying is, you know, like I have weak eyesight, and, you know, for many generations, my grandfather, my father, me, my brothers, my children, everyone seems to have. So is that also something which is considered to be inherited?
Myopia is genetic. Definitely. We don't use the word inherited for myopia, mostly because thankfully it's a treatable disease to a very, very large extent.
I see. Okay. You know?
But myopia does certainly run in families, of course. Right. Yeah.
Okay. Very interesting. So my next question is that how do we diagnose retinal dystrophies?
The disease itself, in terms of diagnosis, is not very difficult. Anyone, you know, who's an eye specialist will be able to make a diagnosis. The trick is in the finer nuances of the diagnosis. Because unfortunately, a lot of people who get the label of retinitis pigmentosa are told that they're going to lose sight very early on in life. Mm. That may not be, you know, really the case every time. Mm-hmm. Today, we have the possibility of doing a genetic testing to actually identify what is the problem that, you know, a person carries. Mm. It is, you know, it's quite a simple test. Mm. We, you know, collect about, you know, a blood sample that similar to what we would do for, let's say, you know, checking the blood sugars. Mm-hmm. But there are specific labs that run these tests. And in a large, you know, in about maybe 60 to 70% of people, we are able to identify the actual problem at the root cause. You know, we call it a mutation. We're able to identify the mutation. Mm-hmm. So to that extent, it is, you know, possible to diagnose.
And are there any cures available?
No.
No.
Unfortunately, around the world, there are no cures. And except for one very specific mutation, we call it RPE65, mm-hmm. which is, you know, quite a rare mutation, you know, especially in India. There is a gene therapy that has been US FDA approved only for this condition. Mm-hmm. Except for that, there are, you know, 200 other mutations that cause RPE. So there is no treatment for, you know, any of that. So while there is a lot of research, both in terms of, you know, cell therapy and, you know, more importantly, gene therapy, as we speak, there is no treatment.
Amazing. And, you know, again, I don't know much about this field at all. Yeah. So pardon me if I ask you stupid questions.
Not at all.
Eye donation is something that a lot of people are doing. I've donated my eyes as well. Does eye donation help to be able to counter some challenges that of the retinal dystrophy kind of thing?
No. So the cornea is, you know, in the front portion, it's a clear layer. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about eye donation, we typically use only the corneas. Okay. In fact, today when we donate eyes, mm-hmm. you know, the people who collect eyes don't collect the whole eyes generally. We only collect the cornea. So it is only the corneal blindness that can be treated with a corneal transplant.
I see.
Now, that itself is a huge burden. We have, I think, about 6 to 7 million people who are blind with corneal diseases in India. Mm. So donating eyes is probably the most noble thing to do, I would say. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a common misnomer that people think the, you know, body gets disfigured, the face gets disfigured when the eyes are removed. It is not so. Mm. As long as we're able to, you know, donate the eyes within 6 hours, it is going to help 2 people. So, you know, why not? And in terms of the, you know, eye donation, the pledge you mentioned, mm. it is equally important that people around us are aware that we have donated eyes.
Correct.
Because they are the ones who have to call the nearest eye hospital or the eye bank to, you know, say that, look, this is a person who's donated his eyes, would you come and collect the eyes? So
very interesting. So again, another question relating to retinal dystrophy. Does it impact both eyes or?
Always
both eyes, is it? So it's not even as if the redundancy that God has provided us with two eyes.
I wish so. No, unfortunately, no. It is always in both eyes. And so when we talk about vision loss, unfortunately, this is, you know, in both eyes. Yes.
Wow. So let's now talk about stem cells.
Sure.
Again, for my viewers and listeners and for me, help me understand first, what is a stem cell?
So a stem cell is a cell in the human body that is capable of converting to another kind of cell.
Mm-hmm.
Most cells in the body only produce their own kind. Skin cells will produce their own kind and so on. Whereas a stem cell is a cell that can, you know, become another cell. For example, a basic cell can become a cardiac cell, you know, a muscle cell. And so this is a stem cell.
Mm-hmm.
So today we are able to create stem cells just by, you know, taking a blood sample or taking a small skin biopsy,
mm-hmm.
and give those cells the right environment and then convert them to another, you know, cell. So these are called induced pluripotent stem cells.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the ways that we are using, you know, at iStem. So we basically then convert them into the eye cells.
And, you know, there's a lot of reading that people do about stem cells whenever there is any kind of health-related matter, because everyone seems to believe that from the brain to the parts of the body to the eye, a stem cell is the miracle cure. How are you working with stem cells to be able to treat eyes?
So the retina is a very complex structure.
Yeah.
In a way, it's literally the extension of the brain. And so it's, you know, it's about 10 layers in the retina, mm-hmm. on a histological, you know, section. The most important are two layers. The one of the layers is called the retinal pigment epithelium. This is like the foundation of a building, mm-hmm. and over which sit the photoreceptors, which are the actual building blocks.
Mm-hmm.
So these two are the most important layers. In AMD, there is a gradual loss of RPE that causes, you know, vision loss, whereas in many genetic diseases, it is the photoreceptors that are lost.
Okay.
So what we are trying is use stem cells, create RPE out of it,
mm-hmm.
and then inject them into the eye under the retina.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a current focus. The next step is to actually create the photoreceptors also. And hopefully as we go along, be able to do both, which is what is going to be the miracle cure that you're talking about. But we are quite a bit of time away from something, you know, miraculous as that.
Wow, wow. And can stem cells actually help to reverse blindness?
I wouldn't say reverse as of today.
Okay.
In fact, most of the stem cell work that's happening around the world is currently in clinical trials.
Mm-hmm.
It is quite interesting that, you know, after cancer, retinal diseases are the ones that have the maximum research around the world.
Mm-hmm.
So most of these are in clinical trials. And while we're hoping that, you know, we and some others should be able to at least halt the progression of the disease,
mm-hmm.
I think reversing blindness is a long way. We're not there yet.
Mm.
Hopefully, with all the work that's happening around the world, science will get to that point. But I don't think I would use the word reverse blindness as of today.
And, you know, a related question in terms of research.
Yes.
How does research in India compare with what's happening in research around the world for eyes?
We are a bit behind.
Okay.
But I think, you know, almost every eye institute today is mm-hmm. trying to do its share of research. And that's the beauty of, I think, you know, some of these very large institutions. In fact, eye care is on par with, you know, world-class care anywhere else in the world. We are on par with, you know, world-class eye care.
Right.
Research also is happening in multiple arenas. But I think we are a little behind, mostly because I think we have so much of the disease burden to treat, Ashutosh. Mm-hmm. It does get hard to take time away, you know, for research.
Mm.
Having said that, I would say that we are getting there, you know, rather fast. We are reaching the world standards rather fast.
Mm. Very interesting. So coming back to stem cells, what is the government's view on stem cells and using stem cells to cure patients?
There are very strict guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
There is something called the NAC SERT, which is the National Apics Committee for Stem Cell Research and Therapy, which has set very, very strict guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
It also mandates that we set up Institutional Ethics Committee.
Mm-hmm.
Like we at iStem have the ICSER, the Institutional Committee for Stem Cell Research.
Mm-hmm.
The committee meets every 6 months once or so and oversees the ethical aspects of everything that happens. And eventually, when we have to get the human clinical trial, human surgeries and so on, there is a DCGI, the Drug Control Journal of India, which oversees, and there is very strict protocols and procedures to be followed.
And is this process very expensive?
It is expensive because if you look at having to start any basic research, including your infrastructure, personnel, there is a lot of work. R&D, of course, is expensive anywhere in the world.
Correct.
Having said that, I think because we're able to do it in India, we are, we are probably doing it at a fraction of a cost of what would have happened, if, for example, if we'd done the same thing, let's say in the Bay Area, we're doing it at a fraction of the cost. And that's one of the reasons I think why we will be able to keep the cost down eventually significantly compared to the rest of the world.
Interesting. My next question is on inherited retinal disease that we spoke about. Do you think that we can tackle the problem if we get to know this early? As you said, we could do tests and find out what are my gene, if I can use the term, disorders.
Yes, yes. So we can identify them. Unfortunately, as of now, once a person already has the condition, we don't have a cure. But what is possible is that to prevent this in the next generation. So if a person already has the condition, it is possible to make sure the next generation doesn't get it. So let's say there's a pregnant lady and she's worried that her baby may carry a genetic condition. Today we are able to do a prenatal testing as early as 8 to 10 weeks of pregnancy. And identify whether the child has the same mutation. But this is provided they already know what the mutation the mother or the father is carrying. Invariably, this is because the mother has a problem or the father, someone in the close family, or they have another child who has a problem and they're worried. As long as we have identified the mutation in advance, it is possible to do a prenatal screening.
Okay. And if you're able to identify the problem in advance, there is a cure available, is it?
There is no cure. There is no cure available. And that is unfortunately the trickier bit of retinal diseases.
And how widespread is the availability of such treatment in our country?
So in terms of genetic diagnosis, yes. It is, like I said, most metros, genetic diagnosis is possible today. In terms of treatment, I was mentioning about, Luxturna or the RP65 mutation therapy. This therapy, as of now, is not even launched in India. Okay. And even in the West, the current price for even one vial of injection for one is about $500,000.
Wow.
So, even when it's launched, it is not something that, anyone with the RP65 mutation can walk into a clinic and have it. But I'm sure it's going to be launched soon. So hopefully price will not be the issue at that point for people who have this specific mutation.
Wow. So Rajila, let's move on and talk about your not-for-profit Center for Eye Genetics and Research. Tell me what you do here.
Because I'm a retina specialist, I see a lot of patients mostly with diabetic eye disease or retinal disease with, because of, let's say, hypertension or, various other disorders. And I was finding it a little difficult to see patients with genetic diseases in the same clinic. And I also realized many of these patients, are so poor, they cannot afford a consultation charge. So I said, let me, split the two. So I run a not-for-profit, where I specifically see patients with genetic diseases. So I have a fairly good setup, in terms of the equipment required, at least for the initial diagnosis. And it's possible for me to do all of this, without charging the patient.
Wow.
And I'm also, more importantly, I think I'm able to give time to the patients, enough time that they really, deserve, instead of rushing them through an OPD. So that's what I do at the Genetic Center.
Fascinating. So time for one more question, and I'm going to come to your research.
Sure.
You're a medical doctor and a PhD. So you're technically a doctor. You did your PhD from the Maastricht University and your subject was inherited retinal diseases.
Correct, yeah.
Tell me about your hypothesis and some of your findings.
First of all, I think getting interested in this itself was, you know, not something that was very common when I started this. I also took a long time to finish it, honestly, because I was working, you know, managing my family and doing my PhD. Mm-hmm. And what I found out as we went along is that the numbers are really huge. It is a mind-boggling number of people out there who need the help. You know, it sort of made my decision stronger to work in this area. So the PhD was just, you know, one step into this arena to see, you know, what this is all about. Mm. But I think having started that and, you know, gone through the entire process, as I saw more and more patients, I realized that there is a lot of work that needs to be done in this area. So if, in a way, iSTEM was also born as an offset of this, having known that there is a lot of work to be done in this area.
So one more question I have to ask you. Is this challenge of eye health restricted to the developing world, or is it across the whole world?
Oh, it is across the whole world. Okay. It cuts the socioeconomic barriers. I have some of the richest people who struggle to find a treatment, you know, for their children.
Wow.
So this is one disease that cuts across socioeconomic barrier. In fact, what I have also realized as I've been studying these conditions more and more is that I think the rural people have accept this with a lot more, they're a lot more calm about this, because for them, you know, joint family systems still exist in a lot of the rural India, Indian families, and they're able to manage a child without worrying too much about it. Whereas nuclear families, you know, they're shattered when they have a child with a genetic diagnosis. So it cuts across, all barriers.
So true. Rajni, on that note, thank you so much. It has been such a privilege speaking to you. Absolutely. Thank you for talking to me at such great length on eyes, about the amazing work that you are doing on research, and about all the work that you are doing in your not-for-profit also. I also learned a lot of interesting things from you today about stem cells. And I wish you lots and lots of luck and lots of success with all your research. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ashutosh. Thank you for having me. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.